Hello and welcome to the Vibrant Life Radio Show. This is Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo, and I am really excited to be here. We broadcast live from Austin, Texas, every Thursday at 10 a.m. Central Time, and we bring to you cutting-edge topics, topics on health and wellness that can change your life, give you new perspectives on old topics, and empower you to take charge and take action. And today we're here for part four of our series on gluten and gluten-free. And we started out the series with the whole question of, is gluten-free just a fad? And I think with the first two topics, the first two shows with Dr. Tom O'Brien, we pretty much put that it's a fad to bed, that it's not a fad, that it is a really serious issue, a health issue, and the good news is it's something that is, I'm going to say, relatively easy to address. So what I mean by that is the symptoms, the conditions, the illnesses that result from gluten intolerance. There's no drug, there's no surgery, there's no fancy medical procedure. There is living a gluten-free life. And so last week we did a kind of a pre-recorded show on the effects of gluten on children and their brains and their ability to focus and behave. So the first three shows were all about how gluten affects your life and what kind of conditions it can be leading to. So the next two, and possibly even a third, if I can convince my guests to come back for a third one, will be, how do you do it now? How does it feel from a perspective of, wow, I have to do this, and taking it all the way to, okay, I can do this, and I can put this into life. So today my guest is Debbie Sipowicz, and I first met Debbie when she scheduled a consultation with me last summer. And Debbie knows firsthand the feeling that comes up when someone says to me, well, I think a lot of your problems are related to gluten and you need to go gluten-free. But Debbie is a health coach as well. And Debbie has a great website called hipchicksinmidlife.com, hipchicksinmidlife.com. And she coaches other women who are going through this midlife area, and she is now coaching them in gluten-free and how to go gluten-free in a way that doesn't completely disrupt your life. So let me read to you a little bit about Debbie. She, after personally experiencing cancer, asthma, gluten intolerance, and leaky gut, has changed her own diet many times over the last 20 years and has always managed to enjoy food as well. And I will say she's also a chef, and she's just good in the kitchen. And so when something comes up like you have to change your diet in this way or that, she's up for the challenge. And in her coaching practice, she picks up where now you have to change your diet diagnosis comes in, and she helps women through the tough stuff, and she helps them upgrade their food choices and still enjoy eating, which is a really big piece of that. And I will tell you, you can still enjoy eating. A dear friend of mine made me this amazing raw, gluten-free, dairy-free, low-glycemic cheesecake for my birthday. And I was eating it and like, oh, my God, I can eat really healthily and still enjoy my food. And it's really amazing. So, Debbie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's actually just an honor to be here. I've, been a longtime fan and follower of yours for years, and so I am thrilled to be on your show.
Great. And so, you know, you didn't, I had a feeling you didn't like me very much at the time when I said, Debbie, I think you need to go gluten-free. So I want to hear from your perspective, what did that feel like? What was your reaction, and how did you feel when you found out, I think I need to go gluten-free?
Well, I will just start by saying, first I just didn't believe you. You know, you remember that, right? We went through it a few times, and because like you, I don't eat a lot of gluten. I mean, I feel like I've really learned how to eat in a healthier way, but it wasn't no gluten. It was, and so that news to me was not, it just wasn't something that I was really, I really believed. And yet, if I just, can I just tell you this story about how I got to you in the first place?
Sure, absolutely.
Because I just wanted to say that I'm a foodie person. I've always been a foodie person from the get-go. And so, and I was in this place in my life 10 years ago when I was just, you know, healthy and in excellent health, happy. I had two little babies at the time. It was just like a happy time in my life. And I went in for a routine physical one day. No symptoms, no problems or anything, just for routine physical. And the next day, this doctor sat me down, gave me the box of Kleenex, and told me I had cancer. And it was, you know, to say it's life-changing is just sort of an understatement, but it really, I just started reading like a lot of people do, but there's one book that I read, it was called Food as Medicine, and it changed everything for me because it was the first time I really made this connection between food and health. Up until that point, I just was thinking food was something to be enjoyed, really. But anyway, so I just, like, I started cooking in a new way. I started, like, learning really what it means to be healthy, and I became really aware of my own body and how it reacts to food. So fast forward 11 years, and I all of a sudden wasn't feeling right. And this is when I came to you because I had been to many doctors, an endocrinologist, an osteopath, an MD, because I knew my body was trying to tell me something. I knew it because I'm just really aware of my body, but I didn't know what it was trying to tell me. I just couldn't figure it out, and that's when I made this appointment with you, and that's when you told me that it might have something to do with gluten, and I just... Yeah, it was, I was happy to know something for sure. I was happy to know, given a label or a reason for all this that was going on. But was I happy to hear the news? Absolutely not. I mean, even though I cook that way, I show other people how to cook that way, but to have to do it all of a sudden is a completely different thing.
Well, and I remember we had to prove it to you, right? So
you had to
said, I'm going to take the test, but, you know, I'm going to prove to you that I really don't have, I'll stay gluten-free most of the time, but I don't think I have to do it all the time.
Well, yeah, and I'm just one of those people that needs the proof. And I remember when you were talking to Dr. O'Brien the last 2 weeks, I know you mentioned that too. For some people, it's really important. And for me, it really was. And I, you know, in retrospect, I feel like I did it all backwards, because if I feel like in some ways this gluten was the start of my issues, I mean, that cancer was a cause of it and not, you know, not the other way around. And so that's why I'm so passionate about helping people understand, like you, you know, the problems with gluten.
So you mentioned to me that it was more than just like the inconvenience of having to read every label and be careful in restaurants. Because I remember you saying that to me after a couple of months. It was like, well, you know, I'm gluten-free. Or maybe it wasn't quite that long, but it was before you'd gotten the test. Well, I'm gluten-free at home, and most of the time I'm really not seeing that much of a change. But, you know, when I go out to restaurants, they may be hidden gluten. I'm not asking, et cetera, et cetera. And that's when we did the test.
Right.
So from your perspective, you know, how did that go? I mean, how did you overcome some of those emotional hurdles of, wow, this is really serious, and really get to the point where not only did you fully embrace it yourself, but now you're helping other people with it?
Well, an answer to that. I feel like what happens when you get a diagnosis, diagnosis is kind of a strong term. I don't know if there's you get the news that you have to go gluten-free. emotionally, I think for a lot of health practitioners and a lot of people, including myself, it does seem like an easy solution, or it's relatively easy, like you said. I mean, just to give it up. But there's a huge emotional side to it. And I like to describe it as, you know, and not to be overly dramatic, but it is sort of like a death in a death in a weird way. Mm-hmm. I mean, because if you think in a, you know, think about it for a moment, like, you know, this is something that for most of us, we love, right? We love dearly. They're with us every day. It's something that it's there for you when you don't feel great. It's there for you when you to celebrate, for celebrations, right? You completely count on it in many ways. Mm-hmm. And all of us, and part of you assumes that this is something that will always be with you, just like a spouse or a pet or, you know, I know that sounds overly dramatic, but if you think, and then all of a sudden, boom, you know, one day you have it and one day you don't, there is like, it's an emotionally jarring experience.
Mm-hmm. And it's great, a grieving.
It totally is a grieving. And it's you know, of course it's just food. I mean, it's just bread, but it's a new normal. And that it was the same experience I went through when I had that cancer diagnosis, because you have to, it's a new normal you're living with. And once you get used to the new normal, it's fine, but it's sort of like that, like time heals, right? But to just all of a sudden, and especially to hear somebody say, or hear people say, well, you just have to give up the bread. It's no big deal. But it's really, for a lot of us, it's something we're eating morning, noon, night, and then snacks in between.
Right. It's the ultimate comfort food. It's like, oh, just sit down with, oh, have a cookie, have some bread, have some, and then you go, oh, you let go, and, you know, you stuff all the emotions or whatever is there that you really should have been dealing with, and you can just feel comfortable again. And when someone takes that away from you, your crutch, your tool, your anchor, it's a challenge. It's a challenge.
It's a total challenge. And I was reading, actually, that that book, you know, the Elizabeth Kubler-Ross book again, just because I just was curious about her, those five stages of grief, you know, that book, right?
Yes.
And she's in hers, and I just thought, just as a correlation, I just thought it was kind of interesting, because she says, you know, the first stage is this denial, like, this can't be happening to me. and then there's an anger, like, why is this happening to me? And then there's this bargaining, and I think of that as like, well, because I remember asking you this as well, like, if I give it up for 4 months, then can I eat it again? You know, and then the fourth stage is sort of a depression, like, oh, you know, like, this is really my new life. And then finally the fifth stage is acceptance. Like, I'm not that I'm thrilled about it, but I'm at peace with it. You know, I found some alternatives and I can live in this new normal place. And anyway, I just thought they were kind of.
No, I think that's great. Because as soon as you said, it's like a death. I went, oh my God. And she went through those stages of grief, like it's talked about. So I've never looked at it that way, but it does happen that way. You are not alone in the way you responded.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've seen it with my kids as well, but anyway, so, you know, depending on what stage you're at, I think you have to accept the stages, I guess, is my feeling.
Mm-hmm. Right, and actually work through it and know that it's a stage, and the next stage, and the next stage, and the next stage, and by the time you get to the end, it will be acceptance. And I would say beyond acceptance, it's, for me, it's freedom, it's joy, it's vibrance.
Yes, totally. And actually, I did mean to add that on the end, because I totally agree with you. It's beyond acceptance. It's it is exciting. I mean, because just the health difference alone is just so incredibly motivating, and it is freeing, because you've all of a sudden can do a lot more things that you couldn't do before. You have more energy. You have less pain and Yeah, that's why I'm like, I'm so on a mission to get everybody to that new normal. we'd have so many more choices. It would be great.
Yeah, and so it takes time, right? And that's what people always ask about. And I can give them kind of, well, for some people, they feel pretty awesome and they're really in the groove within a couple of weeks. And for some people, it can take months.
Yeah.
And so what's your experience of how long did it take you, and do you find with people that it takes to get to that place of, okay, I can accept this, I'm no longer angry about it, I'm no longer bargaining about it, I'm accepting it, and now I'm moving forward into experiencing the ultimate freedom and vibrance that it allows?
Yeah, and I would say it just totally, totally depends on how, what state you came in at and how committed you are to getting there quicker, because I really don't think you can deny that emotion. But for me, it's really motivating, because like I said, I had cancer, and in some ways I feel lucky that I did, because I am super motivated not to get that again, right?
Right.
And if I feel like this had anything to do with it, that's enough for me to do it. But if for somebody who's just not feeling that, you know, maybe they have a rash that shows up on their face if they eat gluten, I mean, maybe they're not quite as motivated to change, or maybe it's going to take them a little longer, but you can still get there. And I know this functional medicine doctor that I was talking to recently, he's saying in his office, and he's a specialist in leaky gut, which is, of course, a lot of people think it's the cause of a lot of, you know, that the gluten causes the leaky gut and that causes all kinds of other issues. But he said in his office that the people that have autoimmune disease, you know, whether that's Hashimoto's or you know, arthritis or anything, that 100% of those people have a gluten intolerance. So.
Mm.
But the other direction's not the same. I mean, everybody that has a gluten intolerance doesn't have an autoimmune. But you,
right.
And so it just seems like my logical mind that's a stepping stone. And for me, like, the more I know about, you know, the possible downsides of not doing it, or the more I understand about the impact of what gluten has and the easier it is for me personally to, you know, be diligent about it.
Right.
But everybody's different. Everybody's different.
Right. And I find, though, personally, I mean, I've worked with lots of people over the years, and that for most people, the knowledge is power. It's like when they understand it, they go, okay, I think I need to do this, versus, oh, I see a lot of people who've come from, like you, they've seen this naturopath or this osteopath or this functional medicine MD, and nobody's really pulled it all together. And when I sit them down and I explain to them the mechanisms, or through these radio shows where I go into a lot more detail, or through my teleseminars where I really like to present what's going on underneath the covers, people go, oh, now I get it. That's why that person told me 25 years ago I should avoid gluten.
Right.
But I never really got it why, and so I didn't.
But the thing is, you are great at that. I think that, and I think that's why you have so many followers, and that's why I have followed you for years, because you're really good at taking something complex and just explaining it so all of us can understand it. You know,
mm-hmm.
I love your analogies and your examples, and I think that it is really empowering. And to me, that's sort of what you're all about, like bringing it to the rest of us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, great. So tell me some of, you know, you had the, of course, I remember you going through, first of all, the denial, you know, and the bargaining, and you were pretty good about keeping the anger from coming out at me, but I could hear it and feel it, that was there. So what's on the other side? How can you encourage people? What tips can you give people for getting from that stage into the other side?
Well, I would say first and foremost is that you just have to accept the emotion, and I just feel like you don't just not to be try to be strong through it, or I mean that I remember one of my coaches saying this once actually, that emotions are something it's one of the biggest areas that we don't face a lot of times, and you can't just bury it. It's sort of like being constipated or something. It's just you absolutely have to let it out of your body, or other health consequences will show up. So I whatever that means for you, whether that's crying about it or writing in your journal or just dealing with the emotion in some ways, I think, because losing something you love is painful, right? There's no doubt about it. But I would also say just be patient with yourself. But then I guess the other thing that I could offer is that is just to find some places where you, because I think one of the biggest issues is not feeling normal. You feel so somebody that you can't do a lot of the things that you normally could do. You can't just go grab, you know, a sandwich at the deli anymore, right? So you, but there are plenty of places. Well, I live in California, so I'm sure it's different for everybody. But even if it's a support group or something, I mean, there are places all over now that are popping up with, there's gluten-free meetup groups. Some place where you feel like it's a normal thing, I think, is helpful too.
Mm-hmm.
But I would also say that getting involved is one way to deal with it too, because just learning about the changes in wheat that have been happening can be really empowering, because in some ways then you recognize that it is not you. It is the changes in our food supply that are, and to me, it's very helpful to take it out of being like something's wrong with me to feeling like, you know, there's something wrong with our food supply. And we've actually, if you can get involved at that level, I think it's really helpful. It's helpful for the world at large to be involved at that level. But I also would say you also have to somehow recognize that that you're sort of one of the lucky ones in a way, because that problem is so far reaching. And if you can identify it, like I feel so incredibly grateful that you were able to do that for me, because of all the, you know, health consequences down the line, if you don't, this is sort of like you get to nip it in the bud, and you get to nip it in the bud with food, right?
And I
know in the next call we're going to talk about a lot of the, you know, the practical sides of it, like what you can do in the kitchen, and there are a lot of practical tips in the kitchen to offer as well.
Right.
But just to kind of move through the stages of these, the emotional sides, I just think it's helpful.
I think so, and I really want to reinforce the whole thing about being lucky. When I speak to parents, say, and they have small children, and they find out their kid has to go gluten free, I say, God, you know, it's not it's inconvenience, but you're so lucky, because look at all the junk food out there that they're not going to be able to eat. And it's not just a matter of, oh, that's not good for you, honey, you know, let's not just eat sugar. It's a matter of, you can eat this, because it can be life-threatening, or it contributes to the behavior problems or the OCD or all the other things that it can contribute to in children.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, it's so interesting that we've so gotten so far away from, you know, grabbing an apple if you need a snack. I mean, for most people, not everybody,
but
a bagel just seems better because it's one of those comforting foods. And yeah, so if we can get back to the apples, we're all better off.
We're all better off, absolutely. Absolutely. And teaching kids, I mean, I know you've maybe mentioned a little bit briefly about your children having, how did that go, how was that emotionally for you dealing with them because of how they obviously dealt with it?
Yeah, that's, it's way harder for me than it is for them, and it's pretty dang hard for them. But it's just hard because it's especially my 13-year-old, because he just feels like, you know, he's going to be singled out, like he's just the odd kid, you know, the gluten-free. He just doesn't want that label. And it's so incredibly hard as a parent to just, you know, you can't tell someone, you can tell them all you want, I guess, that it's going to be all right, and I absolutely know it will be, but it's that initial stage of pain that's really hard as a parent. I mean, you know, I would be gluten-free 10 times over before I would have him have to have pain around it, because it's just really hard as a parent.
Yeah, but on the other hand, you know, from a health perspective, that you need to protect him.
I know that I need to protect him, and I know, just like you said, that in the long run, he is going to be so much better off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I would say he's just in the middle of it right now. I mean, he definitely went through these first two stages, and he's now asking me all the time, you know, so he said, if somebody comes out with a drug, Mom, that would you let me do it?
Oh, that would make him not gluten intolerant. How funny.
Yeah.
Well, I have a 13-year-old, too, and my 13-year-old just announced to me yesterday, a couple of days ago, I don't think I'm gluten intolerant anymore, Mom. Let's get the test done again. I don't think I have one anymore. I think I could go back and eat gluten again. So I need to spend the money to run the test again, and maybe to run the more detailed test, which we talked about with Dr. O'Brien last week, the really detailed little gliadin fractions and all that, and possibly even the leaky gut, just to show him, hey, you know, you still have a problem, and I could tell here you haven't been 100%, because this leaky gut is still maybe there, so...
Yeah,
but it is. It's hard for the kids. It's
really
easier
hard.
Still. It's getting easier. My son went to baseball camp last summer, and my husband called up to say, okay, let me talk about the diet. These are the restrictions. And she said, oh, you would need the gluten-free vegan menu. Hang on one second. Let me go get that.
Right.
And he was floored. He was just, this was the Cooperstown, New York Baseball Hall of Fame camp for kids. Most times you talk to these people there, they don't know anything about.
Right.
And, you know, hot dogs, they don't have gluten, right? But, we have a gluten-free vegan menu.
That's awesome.
So it's getting there.
My husband and I go out to one fancy restaurant in San Francisco every year for our anniversary, and we went to Masa's. Have you ever heard of that?
Uh-uh.
It's one of the nicest restaurants. It's been there forever, but it's very high-line restaurant. And that was the first question they asked me, does anyone have any food intolerance?
That's fantastic.
It
I don't mean to cut you
awesome.
Off, but we just got the warning that we only have 90 seconds, and by now it's probably 60 seconds. So what we're going to do is we're gonna pull this all together next week with practical. You know, how do you go out to eat? What do you do in your kitchen? Those sorts of things. So what I'd like you to do, just share a little bit about, you know, tell us your website again for people who maybe tuned in late and didn't hear it at the beginning, and what you're all about.
Okay, well, I'm at hipchicksinmidlife.com, and I'm just all about we're all about empowering women to be their healthiest selves yet. And I work as a health coach with a lot of women who want to upgrade their diet or been told they have to upgrade their diet and just don't know how to do that. So, and I'm also a natural foods cook. So that's a lot of what I do, is actually show women that how to make super yummy, delicious foods and be healthy and still, you know, not not be stuck with limitations, but use it as an opportunity to try some new foods out there.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. I look forward to our conversation again next week.
Okay, thank you very much.
Talk Talk Radio, DrRitaMarie.com, and you can visit me on the web at www.DrRitaMarie.com, and you can hear these recordings. You can have MP3 downloadable versions of these that you can get after the fact, usually probably a day later, at DrRitaMarieRadio.com, and visit our archive library there as well. Bye-bye.